you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm chapter 8, verse 1.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. That's Psalm 8, verse 1.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's finally Friday. It's October 3rd. Wow, we're marching away into this new month. It's 2025, and you might say, hey, Mark, it's October. We know what year it is. Yeah, but this gets archived, and for those that might tune in maybe 3, 5, 10 years from now, they'll know what year and what date this program was broadcast over our 21 frequencies, and we hope you are being blessed by the God-honoring music and messages that you can hear throughout the day. Well, today on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to be looking at Psalm 8, and it might even carry over to next week. We'll see. There's so much to cover with this wonderful psalm. It's a psalm of majesty. It's a psalm of praise written by King David. It's one of those beautiful songs in all of Scripture because David begins and ends with the same thought, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In between, he marvels at the heavens above and wonders why God of creation cares so deeply for us. Yes, listening friend, on today's edition, you're going to hear about that love that God has for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He created you different than anyone else in all creation, and he has plans and purposes to be realized in and through you, and part of that is getting to know him in a personal way. God is approachable, and he is caring. And so on today's edition, we're going to look at this psalm, but it's kind of humbling because it lifts us up, and yet it also declares the greatness that God is and he always will be. And so joining me in the studio to facilitate our discussion and conversation is Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church Springfield. In fact, Pastor Mark, you're going to be leading a devotional thought tomorrow at the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. So I'll have to get a sneak preview of that yes. later on. But that's where I met Mark a few years ago and was so appreciative of his devotional thought and his sharing with the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. And he just became a good friend. And I felt really comfortable introducing him to you all on these Fridays. And so this is like our 9th or 10th time of gathering to divide God's word and to have an open discussion. So Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. If God was going to answer your prayer for this program, for the listener that's tuned in, or for those of us gathered in the studio, this room of friends, how would he answer your prayer?
Mark, we've been talking for the last couple of sessions about the power of God's word in our life and our need to know the word. We can be quickly fooled if we don't know the word. And so, you know, I would ask a question of people. If I said I'm going to do a series on the family, and they met somebody and they're beginning to start a new family and say, hey, our pastor's going to do a series on the family. And that person looked and said, well, I've heard about your pastor. How can he do a series on the family? He's not married and he doesn't have kids. Anybody that's been around me for very long would look at them and go, who are you talking about? We know his wife and we know his kids. We know who they are. And yet this is the very place that we get into with people when we don't know the word. And so somebody will make some outlandish statement that Jesus, for instance, never talked about hell. And yet it's very, very clear in Matthew that Jesus talks about hell. If you don't know the word, you can be fooled. And so my prayer is that people will have a hunger for the word, a desire for the word, and therefore be past the point of being able to be fooled by the world, being able to be fooled by their own desires, but they would know what God is showing them. The Psalms is wonderful about this. It's a beautiful book. It's the largest book in the Bible, and it's songs. It's songs that they used in worship, and, you know, 70-some of them written by David, And what we see in the Psalms, if you look closely, read it closely, you'll see the beauty of it. The Psalms will minister you in time of need. They'll encourage you when you feel overwhelmed. They'll give you direction when you feel filled with grief. The Psalms do so many wonderful things for us. But if you look a little deeper, what a person will see is the heart of the psalmist.
Mm-hmm.
So here's David, defined by God as a man after God's own heart, who was not a perfect man. So why was he a man after God's own heart? And I think we see that more clearly in the Psalms. And when we read the Psalms and we see how he thinks about God, we see why he's a man after God's own heart, and we can learn from that. The Psalms also reveal the character and the nature of God, so we can know who we're dealing with and we know who we're talking to. We can know what kind of faith we can have. And so my prayer is that people will know the Word's important, study the Word, look at the Word, discover the Word, and let the Word begin to define their faith.
The Psalms are 150 chapters, I
150
believe.
150 Psalms.
So I know some people, they'll read four Psalms a day in a typical month. You can go through all 150. And they're filled with lots of reflections, too. The writers of so many of the Psalms, especially David, they're not just all warm fuzzies. It's like, my father and mother abandoned me, or where are you, Lord? And you work through some of those reflections and thoughts.
You know, in the last couple of weeks, we talked about getting a good study Bible. And the Psalms are really an illustration of how that becomes something that really helps us. Because in so many good study Bibles, they will take you to what this psalm was written about. What was going on in the psalmist's life? What was happening at that point in history? And that helps us relate to the very things that they're going through. You take a look at Psalm 6 and 7. In Psalm 6, David is praying, and he's praying for God's mercy. He believes he's under judgment and is sick in body because of sin, and that God has let the sickness come upon him to draw him back to him. Then you go to Psalm 7, and David is being attacked, and people are saying things about him, and they're saying these things falsely. So in the one, God, I am guilty. Have mercy on me. And the second one is, God, I'm innocent. Protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been in both of those kind of places where we feel like, man, my decisions have led me into a mess, and look what I'm in. God, have mercy on me. And we've all been in that place where somebody's saying things about us falsely, and we need God's protection.
I know the last few weeks we've been talking about the importance of studying the Bible, reading the Bible, knowing the Bible, and some people have said, well, it's archaic, it's filled of stories, but I don't understand it. But when they get into the Psalms, there's so much meat, there's so much personal life experience that there's something for everyone. So listening, friend, if you've never opened the Bible before, actually the Psalms, I think if you open it up right about halfway, you come right to the Psalms. Yeah, I think maybe Psalm 119 is in the middle, or I just opened it up and I'm at Psalm 117. So if you open up the middle of the Bible, that's the Psalms. There's a lot of different authors, but as Pastor Mark shared, David wrote many of them. He was a king, but he was a shepherd. He was kind of a Renaissance man too, because though he did poetry and played the harp, he was also like the mighty men followed him. So he was a fierce warrior, and yet he also was very tender and caring and somewhat charismatic too. So do we need to know a little bit about David before we look at Psalm 8 to maybe set a little, who was this David, a man after God's own heart?
Well, I would say one thing to you. When people say the Bible's archaic, what they're really saying is this: there are rules in there I don't like. That's what they're really saying, because the Bible talks about anger, the Bible talks about love, the Bible talks about speech, the Bible talks about money, the Bible talks about relationships, the Bible talks about everything that happens in all of our lives. It's very relevant to our lives and how we approach life. It talks about aging, it talks about what to do when we're young. The Bible's just full of wisdom for us if we read it. Now, we're going to come to things we don't like. We're going to come to things that our flesh goes, I don't want to live that way. And we've got to decide at that point, is this God's revelation to me for a better life? Do I believe that God's given me a revelation for a better life, or don't I? And then the outcome of that is going to prove something to you.
And listening, friend, if you missed some of our past broadcasts, they're all archived at greatnewsradio.org. and WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But we talked about the importance of different translations of the Bible, because you might be saying, well, the Bible I grew up with, I just could never understand the these and thous and what that all meant, and I got hung up in Leviticus and have never opened it since. Well, in past programs, we talked about the importance of starting maybe in the Psalms or in the Proverbs or reading through James or the book of Mark and getting to know what God would have you reading. And I always have this practice and would recommend it for everyone, whether you're a senior saint or new on the faith journey. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the scriptures, to find points of application, and to read it with the knowledge that God loves you. He wants to reveal his character. He wants you to know him, how he has been at work through all creation, how he began setting the world in motion, how he sent the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he loves you. And this is his love letter. This is his instruction manual. He wants you to know it. So start that practice. Get a Bible today and stop by a church. There's pastors that would love to disclose and talk with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. But reading the Bible is one of the best ways to know who God is.
Mark, David is one of my favorite characters, has been one of my favorite characters since I was a young boy. And I'd like to hear some of the other people kind of share with us who they think David is, what stands out in David's life to them, and then we can dive into what he's saying in this psalm a little bit.
He was put upon by his family and sort of devalued, and he was kind of small also, and so he ended up having huge challenges. And so a lot of us are facing things that just seem like, how in the world can we confront this? And so I think you can look at this guy who's kind of a little guy. His family picked on him. He said, oh, well, I'm going to go do this, and jumped right in there. And he did trust God. And that's the hard part for so many people. And it gives me hope.
Yeah, good.
I like what you said earlier, Mark, about the combination of characters that David was. And I think the thing that stands out for me is how many things he struggled through, as you were saying, Pastor Mark. But the way he struggled through all those was zeroing in on his relationship with God. And the closer he got to God, the better he was able to work through all the myriad of situations that he got himself into.
Yeah, Samuel shows up and they're looking at all the sons of Jesse, and David was out with the sheep and they didn't even think to bring him in to be one of the ones that could candidate, if you will, as king.
At that point, it's a story of a boy in obscurity that God sees something in him, and the rest of the world doesn't see it, but God sees it. And this young man is going to come from the obscure shepherd fields, left alone at night, to be the king of all of Israel. It's an amazing story, an amazing revelation, that whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your background, God sees your heart. And if your heart is right towards God, then God can take you wherever he wants to take you. And that's the story of David.
And I think many of us would love to have God say, you know, Mark or Ani or David is a man or a woman after his own heart. And yet we know David was flawed. He wasn't the best dad. Didn't always, you know, rule or raise his children up properly, or they turned on him. Obviously, the sin of Bathsheba and some of the other things that he did. And so you'd say, how could God refer to him as a man after his own heart? So how I've done this, and help me think this through, Mark, I think through what Jesus did on the cross, God sees all of us that have accepted Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. He sees us through that shed blood, so we take on that righteousness that only Jesus offered. So in a sense, God sees me as a man after his own heart. I think that's how he must see us, because I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so did he see David's tender heart that really loved him even though he fell short? Or does he see through the shed blood of Jesus because David ultimately knew that he needed a Savior?
Well, I think it's pretty complicated, but I think as you read the Psalms and you read how David writes about God and his relationship with God, you begin to understand the uniqueness of David's life. It is absolutely true that God loves every one of us. Mm-hmm. God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. Now, we mistake that to mean every one of us are in the same position with God. But you know, you look at Jesus. Jesus had the disciples. They were different than the ones who weren't the disciples. Then Jesus had the inner circle, the three. And then Jesus had John, the beloved. There's different levels of the relationship that something impacted in the way that they walk. So we don't hear many people in the Bible where God says, that's a man after my own heart. David gets that acknowledgement. So there's something about David's relationship with God that is unique. And I think God puts that there so that we would say, I want to be like that. I don't want to make David's mistakes. I don't want to do the errors that David made. But boy, I want to learn from what his heart was like so I can be a person after God's own heart.
And I wonder if it's some of that innocence that we love in children where they just fully accept, you know, their parents or the situation that they're in, that they have to rely or lean into their parents. And David, maybe in his heartfelt love of God, he just as a child says, God, you're everything. I mess up, but I know you're good. And I always want to capture whatever David had. I pray many times, Lord, I want what David has.
Well, there's so many things in David's life that show. I mean, he is quick. When he's confronted with his sin, he doesn't make an excuse for it. He doesn't blame it on anybody else. He accepts that I have sinned. I have fallen short. I need the help of God. He looks at his victories, and he looks at his victories with, God has done this through me. I haven't done this. God has done this through me. And I think here in Psalm 8, we see a picture of that. So I'd like to just ask everybody real quick in this room, what are the different kinds of ways people see themselves in relationship with God? Not us in this room, but as we've witnessed others in the world, how have we seen people kind of see how they see God? Anybody have a thought on that?
I can just look at myself and see like about three or four different types of believers just within the history of myself. I grew up in a church where everything was just a religious routine and there was no relationship at all. And then after I had those two agnostic years, then I became an adult and got back into church. And then I learned that people actually open the Bible and read it and study it. But then it was just all about knowledge. And then I moved to a church where they talked about actually having a relationship, and that was the church at which I got saved, and it was a whole different level for me. But then I moved beyond even that to now where I look at this first verse in Psalm 8, and I think that I can really get some meaning out of that, because now I'm at a point in my faith where I've realized that I need to accept that this is God's word from the very first verse to the very last verse, and that he is the creator God of the universe, and that his word is the one and only truth. And I've realized that every one of us will make a decision as to whether or not that's our foundation or whether we've built our own foundation. It's maybe based on God's word, but not entirely on it.
David, that's good.
And that was the voice of Dave Fitch, our director of development, who you would have heard this last Tuesday and Wednesday during Mark and Friends. And last week also, he's filled in and had some special interviews. So we appreciate, Dave, your faith journey and your passion for God's word. And Mark, I don't know, are we going to get into a little verse or two from Psalm chapter 8, verse 1?
Yeah, let me go back to this with David here for just a second. I think all of those things are true. And then you have, as you come into the relationship aspect, then it can get a little squishy for us, if you will. So, you know, we know that there are passages in the Bible where we say our Father, and people interpret that to be, you know, interpret as Abba, and which is kind of a term like daddy. And that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's truth in all of that. There's other passages where God reveals to us, I'm your friend, and we see him as a friend. But there's a fundamental base for all of that, that if that base isn't right, I'll take advantage of all those other places. And that's what David is showing right here, Mark. How does he start this psalm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Now, by this time, David is most likely the king of Israel. He knows what it's like to be a lord. He's been under a king of Israel. We don't relate much to this lordship. Most of us, we don't have lords. The closest thing we have to a lord is the government. And even with the government, we have all kinds of checks and balances. But in David's day, the Lord was the final say. So when Saul said, I want him dead. Kill David. People were going to try to help kill David.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Lord. He had to flee from him. He had to run from him. Well, now David is the Lord. He's over all of Israel. And yet when he approaches God, what does he say? Oh, Lord, you're the Lord. You're the one in charge of every word, of everything I say. You're the final judgment of right and wrong. You're the final one to give me direction. I must be completely and totally obedient to you. And then he says, O Lord, our Lord. And he confesses, not only are you my Lord, you are Lord of all of Israel. He's Lord of everything. And so if we're going to have a right relationship with God, it starts on that fundamental principle. He is my Lord. Thank God he says, I'm your friend. Thank God he says, I walk with you and I go with you. But never forget, he's our Lord. And what we go through, what he allows to come into our life, we're supposed to follow him faithfully because he's our Lord.
And I like that fact that he says, our Lord. So we have to remind ourselves when we find people that we don't agree with or like or that have opposing views, they're God's children too. And so it softens sometimes maybe my mindset or when I operate in the flesh that God loves them too. And I have to be mindful that I'm called to be, love them into submission, as a pastor friend of mine often says, is that we got to love them towards God because God created them too. And though we may not agree with them and have opposing views, they are the Lord's too. And so we can need to be cognizant of all those around us and encourage that good news message of Jesus that God so loved the world. He loves them all. Wow, lots to look at and think through and go over. Read Psalm 8 this week or this weekend. And maybe next Friday we'll get through the whole psalm. There's so much in it, so much God-honoring details, and I think you're going to be really blessed. Be in God's Word, be in God's church this Sunday as His Word is divided. Pray up your pastor, get some good rest on Saturday night so you can be attentive to their preaching on Sunday morning, and God has a blessing in store for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.